Sports Podcast with Azra Begovic.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Season of Sports with me, Azra Begovic. Now, with NFL training camps getting set to get underway this week, it's time to talk a bit of NFL. I'm really excited about the season, and I've got a really special guest joining me here, Ben Isaacs, who is a journalist broadcaster for the likes of ESPN UK, TalkSport 2, joining me here on the show. Welcome, Ben.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Well, it's an absolute pleasure to have you. Thanks a lot for taking the time to come on to my pod here. NFL season is right around the corner, which obviously makes us very, very excited. I can't wait personally. Lots of things to get into. I guess the first thing we need to get started with is the fact that the NFL Players Association, their board of representatives, have approved the plan that training camps can get started this week. So that's big news. Everyone seems to be now comfortable with the medical protocols. So we'll see how it goes. How's your feelings on that?
Yeah, I'm really pleased. This was the big obstacle that everyone needed to get past, that everyone had to sit down and figure out how this was going to work. Things like if a player cannot play, if a player chooses to not play, how they will social distance during camp. I read a fascinating thing the other day about the things that the LA Rams are doing, and they everyone in their temporary facility, as it is right now, is wearing special German-made sensors, and you're kind of put in different tiers. So, for example, if you're tier 3, they don't want you anywhere near the players. So if you are within kind of 10 feet of one of the players, you get an alert to say, go this way. So they're determined to keep the players as healthy as possible. And it's interesting that we'll see, we could see a number of players opt out of the season. We've already had one, and with those people, they get paid a certain amount of money, but it is an advance because you get $150,000 for, in effect, sitting out this season, but that comes out of your salary the next season. If for some reason you are cut and you do not play next season, then in that case, you owe your employer $150,000, which is something you don't want to be on the hook for. But it really feels now that that big obstacle is out of the way. The teams are now going to get together, be very smart with the way that they interact with one another, and take the step forward to starting the season, the regular season, on time.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, just to go through some of these details, I mean, the deadline for the 80-man roster is August 16th. The salary cap, they say, will remain the same for 2020, which is at $198.2 million. And the loss of revenue is going to be split over the next 4 years. So generally, you know, I'm glad it came to an agreement. Obviously, everyone wants that football there. So I think both parties have been quite smart on the situation. As you say, players who are at high risk that opt out earn $350,000. Yep. And other players, as you say, without risk, can earn $150,000. But there's obviously stipulations with that. And that's where it becomes very, very tricky. As you say, one player has already opted out. Chiefs right guard, Laurent Duvernay-Tardif. He's the first one. So do we get a feeling that there's going to be more opting out?
I mean, I think we'll probably get some more. He's probably going to be the most high profile. And of course, his circumstances are a little different because he is unique among NFL players in that he is a qualified doctor. In fact, he lobbied the NFL to have doctor on the back of his jersey, Dr. Laurent Tardif. But the NFL said no titles, which is a shame. I'd like to see Doctor on there. Yeah. But he's been treating people in Canada, and his worry is that because of the fact he will have been around people, he's concerned about passing it on to his teammates in Kansas City. So not only has he been quite selfless in that he's been using his off-season helping people, he is now foregoing millions of dollars so that he doesn't pass it on. Obviously, he's made plenty of money in his life, and being a doctor means he's got a pretty much guaranteed revenue stream when he leaves the NFL. A lot of players don't have that. We know that the NFL also stands for not for long, The average NFL career is only a couple of seasons, and players have to make that money when they can. It's going to be very difficult for a lot of people to turn down their normal salary and take that $150,000, or even for a lot of them $350,000, because NFL, if you're listening and you think $350,000 sounds a lot of money, it is for most people. But if you've got not just one massive mortgage, you might have numerous mortgages for homes that you own, homes that you've bought for your family. You might be supporting so many members of your family that taking a $2 million hit is not an option, and that you would rather put your health at risk. We've seen NFL players put their health at risk in terms of concussions, and I think it's going to be very rare exceptions, the people who decide, okay, I'm too worried about COVID-19, I am not going to play. I would say, we'll probably get a handful of people following on from this, but I think it's going to be a very, very small number personally.
Yeah, absolutely. As you say, the difference between the salaries and just in such a short career, I think it leaves players in a difficult position, obviously, to even think about opting out. So I think we'll get the majority playing, but there's always going to be some sort of opt-outs. I mean, the training camps are going to start this week. Some teams are reporting today. We're recording on a Monday, so some teams are reporting already today. Tomorrow, there's going to be 4 days of testing, and then they're going to head into their more active schedules. No preseason games. That's going to be interesting. How teams will cope with that, right? I mean, I know a lot of teams, probably veteran players, are obviously very much in favor of this. They don't really want to see the preseason, but I guess for some young players trying to break through, this could be a tricky situation for them.
Sure, and I'm a big Chicago Bears fan, and in the last preseason, the Bears head coach Matt Nagy, he really didn't want preseason, and he did not have much of an interest in playing his starters. He did not kind of have the young guys gelling with the veterans, and to me that really seemed to backfire at the start of the season, where they were then, it was like weeks 1 to 4 were the preseason for a lot of those players trying to get used to one another, because there's a big difference between what you do in training camp and what you do in preseason. There are lots of teams where the kind of upper management does not really value preseason, and most fans do not value preseason. But there are certain players who it is absolutely vital for. Now, getting rid of preseason right now seems like an obvious step. It seems that why take that extra risk for something that isn't especially popular? But we know that this could be the thin end of the wedge. The NFL would like to just have a longer regular season, a shorter preseason, and I think that's what most fans will want. And this might be a very useful test case, and we'll see how coaches and general managers and rookies respond to a lack of preseason, because that may have a massive knock-on effect for what the NFL does for the next few decades.
Absolutely, absolutely. So it's actually good trial run for them. Moving on to another big story recently in the NFL, and I guess we're staying off the field a little bit, is the Washington Redskins name change. The Redskins obviously made a decision to change their nickname. They're going to be called the Washington Football Team for the foreseeable future. I guess it's the best they could have done, or what they should do in the short term, and just to kind of pivot. I'm glad they kept the colors, because I love their colors. The team colors are pretty awesome. But what does this mean for the name, the identity of this team? I mean, what does Dan Snyder, the owner of the team, really, what does he have to do to kind of fix things and make things really a lot more comfortable and positive for the Washington Football Team?
Well, I think one thing that the fans really want, even those who, I mean, obviously Washington's fans are kind of split. Lots of people want to stick with the traditional name, which I understand if that's what you've grown up with and that's the team you've been cheering for, I get that. But obviously there are also a lot of Washington fans who realize that the name is very much outdated, is offensive to a lot of people and should go. So I think one thing that most fans have agreed on is that they want a team name that begins with R. And this is partly because they want to keep the hashtag HTTR, which is the song Hail to the Redskins, which they may be able to just tweak the lyrics to that. There have been options, Red Tails, Red Wolves. But it's this whole argument has been going on for so, so, so long. Dan Snyder said many years ago that the name will never, ever change. And obviously he's had to go back on that. And when you've got massive sponsors such as Nike and FedEx threatening to pull money away from your organization, then you have to listen, even if you haven't been listening to fans. So when that announcement was made that they would have a consultation into changing the name, I think we all knew at that point then, yes, the name is going to go. They're not going to, at the end of this consultation, say, oh, we've decided to keep it. But with even if this was a normal off-season, and this is the most abnormal off-season in the NFL's history, even in a normal off-season, the idea of coming up with a new team identity, a new logo, and rolling it out, getting it on uniforms, getting the merchandise out, changing every little thing in the stadium that had the old logo on, the idea of doing that in the space of a few months, it's crazy, right? That just,
yeah.
That just couldn't be done. So, like you say, the best thing they could have done right now is remove the part that is considered offensive, the logo and the name, keep everything else. The Washington uniform is an absolute cast iron classic.
Yeah.
And you might want to change the sticker on the side of the helmet, but nothing else needs to change. It's an absolute work of art. So at least they've got that. At least they don't have to change absolutely everything. A lot of the names that people suggested, I think including Red Wolves and Red Tails, who are two of the more popular options among fans, some enterprising man in the US had managed to put trademarks down for so many of these. So there's some guy who owns the name Washington Red Tails, Washington Red Wolves, and dozens of other names for the Washington team. So if Dan Snyder decides those are one of the names that he wants, he is going to have to pay this guy off, which is going to slow things down dramatically. I don't know how you feel. I'm caught between thinking, oh, this guy is pretty smart that he trademarked all these names, but also I feel that if he is going to get a lot of money out of Dan Snyder, he should perhaps give that money to charity.
Yeah, well, no, absolutely. I think there's a lot better things to do with that money than obviously just having to pay a huge amount of money for a team name. And I know it means a lot to people, but there's definitely a good arrangement to be made there, and I think it'd be a lot more beneficial to other people. But I think this is something that they dealt with actually, as considering, and Dan Snyder is someone who's come under a lot of fire for some decisions he's made. I think, as you say, they removed the offensive part, and I think now his emotion sort of settle down, and over a bit of time, they can really, with the help of their fan base and everyone that's, you know, supporting the Washington team, really kind of come up with something, fix a proper nickname and try and rebuild their identity a little bit again. So
yeah,
I think it's definitely a way to go.
Dan Snyder has been a lightning rod for criticism in the things that he's done for the team, kind of whether it's free agency signings or drafting. There's always been criticism of him, and there's been criticism from... I've seen certain groups who have been campaigning for a change in the name complaining that it was because Nike and FedEx put pressure on, and their attitude is, well, what about all of us, and what about the Native Americans? And I get where they're coming from, and I get that they can be displeased that it was the threat of losing money. It wasn't the threat of the fact you were doing the wrong thing. It was the threat of losing money. But I think you have to take a step back and say, it's... the ends have justified the means. If you want the team name gone, don't complain that it happened because someone else campaigned for it, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
And that Dan Snyder, whether he was wrong for keeping it all these years or not, the fact is that he has now seen, okay, let's get rid. And I'm not saying we should all be applauding Dan Snyder. He's criticised for a lot of things, but let's not criticise him for this. He's finally done the right thing, and I'm sure he will consult with fans on the name. He's not going to come up with a name that is going to horrify Washington fans, I hope, for their sake, because they are long suffering, aren't they?
Absolutely. Well, Ben Isaacs joining me here on the Season of Sports. Make sure you follow him on Twitter, tweets from Ben. We're talking about the NFL, as the NFL is planning and starting to come back to action here, which makes all of us NFL fans very, very, very excited. Let's move on to a couple more on-field matters, shall we say. Big news, blockbuster deal in the last few days. Jamal Adams, the All-Pro safety from the New York Jets, gets dealt to the Seattle Seahawks for for a heck of a package, you have to say. I mean, the Jets in return get safety Bradley McDougald, first-round pick in 2021, 2022, and a third-rounder in 2021. Obviously, it was a situation that wasn't going to be able to carry on. I think the hostility between the Jets and Jamal Adams never had a long-term future. They had to do something. But it seems like, I would say, a good deal for everyone. Seattle, as we know, is in win-now mode with the likes of Russell Wilson leading that team. The Jets are continuously rebuilding. So that never seems to be coming to an end. So who do you think gets the better of this deal? Or what are your general thoughts on this blockbuster?
I think the Jets. However, as you say, it does still work well for Seattle. He looks like he should be a perfect fit. We know that Pete Carroll he's a genius when it comes to coaching the secondary. That's where his background comes from. The Legion of Boom that was put together, the incredible secondary that Seattle had when they won a Super Bowl and reached another, and obviously should have won that second one, although you'll be happy they didn't. He's very much focused on defense. He's very much focused on a run first offense. He's a cautious coach when it comes to that. It looks like Jamal Adams can fit the Cam Chancellor role and elevate that defense. However, I don't feel that Jamal Adams is the missing piece to put them over the top, to put them as a Super Bowl winner. They're in a tough division. The LA Rams and the San Francisco 49ers have both reached Super Bowls in recent years, although I don't think they are any more talented than this current Seahawks team, so it's going to be very, very competitive, and this is an improvement. However, they gave up so much, right? Like, for the Jets, if they can use those picks well, and as we all know, you can't really trust the Jets in the draft. You can't really trust them to make any sort of decisions historically, but they do now have a lot of draft capital. They have so many holes to fill on that team. It is one of the least talented teams in the NFL, and they have just got rid of their most talented player. However, you can't really build a team around a star safety, even if he is an all-pro or one of the top in the league, as Jamal Adams is. Now, if Seattle put all these picks together to bring in a game-changing wide receiver, for example, someone who would give Russell Wilson that kind of home run potential and really spark that offense, then I could understand giving up so much. However, to me, the Jets have won this trade. But the problem is, what will they do with those picks? Will they just sign more busts? Will they trade down and accumulate as many draft picks as possible, like Bill Belichick and the Patriots would do, like the Dallas Cowboys of the early 90s did when they traded away Herschel Walker, who was their best player, and restocked the entire roster with the picks that they gained from the Minnesota Vikings. And they kept trading down. Instead of having a handful of first-round picks, it was then a pile of second-round picks as well, and then a third and fourth. And we know that there's no exact science when it comes to the draft. There's no player who you can guarantee is going to be a star player. So you want to get as many draft picks as possible, because if you hit on half of them, you'd much rather be picking 12 players than 8 players. If you can get 6 starters rather than 4, and if you get 4 starters, you'd be very pleased. This has worked out great for the Jets, but now the onus is on them to make the most of these picks. Otherwise, it was a total waste of time, and they've taken away their best player.
So my feelings, Ben, always in these trades are that whenever you can get the main player, you win the trade, because if you can win and if you can make your team better, well, nobody knows about the draft, nobody knows about the future, who's going to be there, what you're going to be picking. And obviously, if you're getting the you know, one of the better teams' draft picks, and the picks are going to be a little bit lower too. So I think Jamal Adams makes the Seahawks better. I think the Seahawks have to do something. As you said, the Cardinals got better. The 49ers are the 49ers. They're one of the in the Super Bowl this past season. And of course, the Rams are always going to be difficult. So in that division, they had to do something. And this was sort of an impact player they must have obviously targeted, especially when nobody knows what's going on with Jadeveon Clowney, right? So there's definitely some options out there for other teams. But the Seahawks had to do something to compete in this division. And I feel like they made a boom here. So Let's see how he fits in. But I can't let you go before without talking about my Patriots. as you can imagine. So Cam Newton, the big name, recently signed. It's exciting news as a Pats fan. We just talk about the draft and other teams and things like that and what it could... Yeah, we had draft capital, the Patriots, all this. The future could look bright, but it's really nothing if you don't have hope, right? And if you're not excited about the season ahead. So I always think you want a competitive team, or you want a team that can go out there and win games. I think Cam Newton, and we're going to assume that he's healthy, he's going to give the Patriots that sort of lift, I think, that they needed after Tom Brady left. What's your thoughts on Cam Newton?
I think that Cam Newton is an absolutely perfect fit for the Patriots right now. I think Josh McDaniel is going to love being able to coach this sort of exciting toy. You know, Tom Brady is Tom Brady and is the most successful quarterback of all time. Cam Newton is not just not as good as Tom Brady, but he's a completely different player. He's much more of an athlete and can do so many things that Tom Brady cannot do. Josh McDaniel is one of the great offensive minds in the league. If I was a Patriots fan, I would be so excited about looking to see what McDaniel is going to come up with for Cam Newton. Cam Newton is really competitive. I think, although he's had his injuries, he's a tough, tough, tough guy. I mean, that's part of the reason he's had the injury problems, is that he's not one to just hobble off the field and choose to miss games. If he stays healthy, that's obviously the big if. I think if he stays healthy, I think the Patriots win that division. I really do. Bill Belichick could still have another Super Bowl in his future if Cam Newton is able to be the Cam Newton he was in Carolina. And I don't see why he can't. There were so many people down on Cam Newton in this offseason, and I was not one of them. And the Patriots did the typical Patriots thing where they signed him at a time where it was a buyer's market, and they were able to get him on such a team-friendly deal. Whereas if they'd signed him right at the end of the season, it would have cost them so much more. It's so low risk for the Patriots that you've got to applaud them. I mean, as if you need any further example of the difference in the way that, say, the Jets and the Patriots do things.
Yeah.
I think this is a great move for the Patriots, and I'm sure you're excited about Cam Newton, or at least I hope you're excited about Cam Newton. I talk a lot about college football, and Cam Newton's season at Auburn, where he almost single-handedly won a national championship with, it wasn't the most talented team in college football that year, but his will to win and the things that he could do and how difficult he is to defend when he's in the right schemes makes him, to use a phrase that we would use in your sort of football, he can be unplayable at times. And I think there's nowhere better for him right now than New England. And he's a much better option than Jarrett Stidham. But if he does get hurt, or if something happens, then the Patriots are basically kind of having to start from scratch again next season in terms of quarterback. Although maybe Dak Prescott will be available. That's another story. But on a scale of 1 to 10, how excited are you about Cam Newton?
No, I'm definitely at a, you know, 8.5, 9, because I was, yeah, I've been talking to my pod a lot, and I went on Patriots podcasts, and for me it's one of those. There's nothing worse when you go into a season as a fan and you're sort of that no man's land. Like, okay, if we're rebuilding and we're gonna be 2-14 or 1-15, whatever. We're doing it for something, right? If we're going to go all in and we were trying to win, that's great. Let's do that. That's exciting too. But we were sort of like, I was looking at the Patriots, and it's that sort of 7-9, maybe 8-8 with Jarrett Stidham, because you still have the best coach ever. Like, it was one of those feelings. I didn't have anything to really get on board with, if you know what I mean. And that's for me is the worst feeling as a fan. I think if I can, okay, we're going to go for the draft. We're going to kind of regroup here after Tom Brady left. We're going to tank a little bit. I can get on board with that. But it was just sort of nothing there. And I think Cam Newton as well, because of that offense, and I think they need a playmaker quarterback. I think he has some good weapons, but nothing extraordinary. He's going to have to make some plays, and he's definitely one of those guys that can make plays. And And I think as you also rightly said, his competitive spirit, he will lift everyone again. He will will people to win. And that's what the Patriots are all about. So I think, as you say, but maybe being a bubble playoff team to now being, again, right in there for the division. I think it's that big of a change. It really is, you know. And I'm a Cam Newton believer. I'm a big fan. I couldn't believe he was still in the market. I was, you know, quietly and like willing it into willing it into existence. Like, come on, let's sign Cam Newton. But always thinking, oh, it's never going to happen, right? So it's I think it's pretty exciting.
Yeah, so some people feel that he's a harder one to control, a harder one to coach. I don't believe that's necessarily true. But if the coaches he's going to be dealing with are Josh McDaniels and Bill Belichick, I'm very confident that he will go along with that. Nobody joins the Patriots unaware of the way the Patriots do things. He's going into that situation with his eyes open and knowing that you have to be an ultimate team player to succeed. He is desperate to succeed. He wants to erase the memory of that Super Bowl defeat. He wants to prove people wrong. So many people wrote him off. How sweet would it be for him to prove people wrong and turn New England into a contender overnight? The people writing them off when Tom Brady moved on, and then they get Cam Newton. As someone who isn't a Patriots fan, it almost doesn't seem fair to me that this would happen. So I'm really looking forward to watching it more than I'm looking forward to seeing how Brady acclimatizes in Tampa Bay. I think Cam Newton is going to be one of these stories to watch, and he's going to be so much fun to watch.
Yeah, well, we also know, I think with Tom Brady, we know where he's going to be. We know the impact he's going to make. There's fewer unknowns in that way, and I think just that supporting cast in Tampa is, you know, you can't really write it any better or script it any better for him. So he's going into an unbelievable situation. Whereas with Cam Newton, I think also Bill Belichick, Josh McDaniels knew they had to change it up. And then whether that realization came more recent or there's something they knew a while ago, but you were never going to get another Tom Brady. He was the perfect quarterback for that system. He was the perfect team player. I mean, you're going to have to go and risk a little bit and get someone a little bit different, because Tom Brady just don't exist. So fair play to them for coming to this decision and obviously getting an unbelievable deal. But Ben, we have a question from one of our listeners. I want to finish off on that. And that comes in from one of our regular listeners, Milan Obsession. What do you think of players who opt out of the season due to COVID-19, especially given how many professional athletes are safely playing their sports around the world now? Is it a poor career move or a personal choice? What do you think?
I think you're taking a massive career risk when you do it, but I think each person's situation is very different. Maybe you know that you are going to have to be around perhaps elderly parents or relatives, and that you are worried about passing that on. Maybe there are particular health issues that you have that it seems extra scary to you. Maybe you've had someone close to you die because of this. I respect anyone's decision when they've done that. People who would opt out are sacrificing millions of dollars for their health. But I think it's a bit of both. It's a personal choice I can respect, but it is probably a bad career move. But it might be a good life move, if you know what I mean. Yes. I'm glad the NFL is giving people that option. I don't think many are going to take it, but I respect that they're giving them the option, and I respect anyone who does it if they feel that is what's right for them and their family.
Yeah, it's a delicate situation, unprecedented time, so you can never really judge anyone for doing it. One thing I can also say as well, from my experience, and I've mentioned this before, is that this is going to be their worst phase, you know, their build up to this. Once they get going, once they get into training camp, once they start playing, you know, they'll understand the rules, you know, people make adjustments. Everything's going to go a little bit better. I think now is the worst phase, about putting all these protocols in place and just players being comfortable being out there. So I think once they get going, everything will be a lot more comfortable and people will get to grips with their environments. But Ben, it's been an absolute pleasure. I can't thank you enough for joining me here on the Season of Sports. Guys, make sure you follow Ben. I mean, I'm a big fan. At tweets from Ben on Twitter. Check out his work for ESPN, for TalkSport 2. So it's been a pleasure to have you on, and very excited about the season. Good luck to your Bears. We'll see what the Patriots do. So, should be fun.
Thanks a lot. Thanks for having me on. I'll come back anytime.
Thanks, Ben. Take care. Well, great chat with Ben. Isaac's here. Looking forward to the NFL training camps opening up. Season's just around the corner, so can't wait for it all to start. Hard Knocks is going to be filming the Chargers and the Rams, so that's going to be an awesome show to watch. But yeah, NFL season around the corner means it's time to get excited. So Ben is awesome. Make sure you check out his work, ESPN Talk Sport. Thank you guys for listening to my podcast. As always, listen to it on iTunes, Audio Boom, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast from, Anchor even. Keep getting your questions there. We're on social media. We're on Twitter. We're on Facebook. We're on Instagram. Get your questions in. Follow us. Keep interacting. And thanks again for all your support. And I'll be back with you very, very soon.